Key here. All right, so I'm gonna change it up just a little bit from what we were doing. Been beating on this thing pretty hard, so I may be a little out of tune. My tuner's at home. But you ever leave the house and wonder, what did I forget? And then you realize it once you get here. All right. So we're gonna try to do, I'm getting a little feedback, I think. Am I? Or maybe it's my ears. We're gonna try to do an old bluegrass gospel song. It's going to be our version of it anyway. We're kind of a ways from it, but we'll get there. And this song is really kind of out of my range. And to make matters worse, woke up with some allergies. So if you hear some squeaks and squawks, my voice isn't changing. It's just the way it is. That's right. You can. I used to do this song years and years ago, over 40 years ago, which I realized this morning, which seems really, really kind of weird. But I did this with my dad and my brother Paul, and Life's Railway to Heaven.
You must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. Watch the curves that fill the tunnels. Never falter, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and keep your eye upon the rail.
Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore, where the angels wait to join us
in thy praise
forevermore.
Spinning Jordan's swelling tide, you behold the Union Depot, into which your train will glide. There you meet the superintendent, God the Father, God the Son, and with a hearty joyous plaudit, we repeal a welcome home.
Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore, where the angels wait to join us
in
thy praise forevermore.
Banjo.
Your Bible this morning, we're in Hebrews chapter 10. Believe it or not, this is the second message in a three-part series on the altar. I've got 19 minutes, so I'm thinking I won't get through this. It may turn into a four-part message on the altar, but we'll go until we're out of time, and then we will pick it up again. But Hebrews chapter 10, we will read 9 verses of Hebrews chapter 10. We'll see what the Lord has for us. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we look at God's Word. Hebrews 10 in verse 1, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they have not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast thou pleasure," don't miss that, "which are offered by the law. Then said I, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second." Our Heavenly Father, we're talking about the altar this morning. We're talking about the Old Testament sacrifices and what took place in the New Testament. We're talking about a fact that when we come to church, it is our desire to have an encounter with you. We believe that right now that is taking place. I pray that our hearts are open, that our ears are attentive to the things that you have to say to us, because through your word and your Holy Spirit, you speak to us, not by this preacher, not necessarily through the music, though you use both of those things. But we know that something supernatural takes place when God's people meet together and the Word of God is opened. And I pray that that would take place this morning. We trust that it will. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Back about a month ago, we came to you with a message on the altar. We talked about the fact that the purpose of attending church is for an encounter with God. We said that there was a common purpose. There would be a sacrifice at the altar. There was a common belief when you came to the altar was the statement that I have sinned, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. And there was a common desire to be right with God. So when you came to the altar in the Old Testament setting, obviously, you knew that there was going to be a sacrifice. They killed that animal. The blood was shed, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The blood is critical in the Christian faith. We need the blood for cleansing. So without that, God's work could not be done. So the sacrifice was killed, Old Testament. The blood was shed. It was sprinkled on the altar. It was used to just to cover, not to wash away, but to cover the sins of the people. It was a system that God had set up. When you came to that altar, you knew there was going to be a sacrifice, and you knew there was a sacrifice because they knew they had sinned, and their sin had to be dealt with. We are all sinners. And then obviously there was a common desire. You went through all that bloody mess, if you will, obeying the Lord because you wanted to be right with God. Cornerstone, if you'd like to be right with God this morning, would you say amen?
Amen.
I certainly do. I hope I am. So today, I'd like us to look at our passage this morning. And Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22 says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins." Hebrews is constantly compares the Old Testament sacrifice with the New Testament death of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not a Bible scholar, and the book of Hebrews does not claim an author. Many people believe that the Apostle Paul is the author of Hebrews, and it is surmised or thought that possibly that this style of teaching in the book of Hebrews is what the Apostle Paul would go into the synagogue and make his case to the Jews of why he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, the Messiah, the sacrifice for sin. And in doing so, he would paint the picture of connecting the Old Testament to the New Testament and the life of Christ. That argument makes sense to me. And as you look at the book of Hebrews and you see the parallels that take place from the Old Testament to the New Testament, in the Old Testament, a sacrifice was a sweet savor unto the Lord. But in the New Testament, what the Old Testament called a sweet thing, in the New Testament, in our text this morning, in verse 6, is an eye-opener to me. Remember, Old Testament, they loved the sacrifice, a sweet savor unto the Lord. But in the New Testament, verse 6, look at this, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Well, what happened to the sweet savor in the Old Testament and no pleasure in the New Testament? What took place? Why is it that he liked it then, but he doesn't seem to like it now? And I think the difference is that God isn't necessarily looking for the sacrifice, is that he's looking for the obedience in the process. To obey is better than sacrifice in 1 Samuel 15, 22. There's a story in 1 Samuel 15 that I think we need to be reminded of, because a lot of times we want to have things done our way, hoping God will be pleased, rather than God be pleased with the way that we are doing it in his way. Remember this, God cannot be used. Say that with me. God cannot be used. So much of the time in the Christian faith, we are trying to get God to come on board with the plans that we have, rather than for us to get on board with the plans that God has. Listen, God wants to use you, but you are not going to use God. And a lot of times in our Christian life, we are trying to live a way or do the things in life that we want God to bless that God's got no part of. And in the sacrifices, a lot of times what was happening is they're coming in, quote, supposed obedience. Okay, Lord, you told us to do this. We're doing this. They'd show up for the sacrifice, but their life up to then and after then had nothing to do with honoring the Lord because they weren't obedient. In 1 Samuel 15, there's this great account of God going to King Saul, and he's saying, King Saul, Samuel spoke to Saul, and he says, I want you to go down, and I want you to take out Agag and all of those people, the Agagites. That's a hard word to say. But I want you to wipe them out. Kill them all. And you can say, that's harsh. Look, that's the account. God said, those people are done. They've crossed the line. I want them all gone. You kill the king. You kill the animals. You kill the kids. You kill them all. You wipe them out. And God said why he was going to do that. We won't take time to examine it this morning, but they had a death sentence pronounced on those people. And so King Saul gets his army together. He goes down. He confronts Agag. They get them all. He captures the king as a war prize. They look at all of, if you will, the trash that was no good. The Bible records all the refuse and everything they didn't want, they killed. So if you will, they took out the trash. But while they're looking around here, hey, there's some pretty good-looking women here. I didn't realize these Agagites, boy, these girls aren't bad. Let's save a few of those. Let's keep the king as a prize. These are some fine-looking cattle and stock, and let's take some of those back. And so the people, and King Saul says it was the people, you know what? Generally, the top dog knows what's going on. You can use that however you want to, okay? King Saul knew what was going on. He went along with it. The people wanted to keep a few things as the prophets of war, and so they brought it back. And so King Saul, the Lord speaks to Samuel and says, Samuel, these people have not obeyed me. You need to go and confront King Saul. And so Samuel goes to him, and Saul sees him. Hey, brother, so good to see you. We have fulfilled the command of the Lord. But meanwhile, in the background, you need all these things going on there and cattle. Ooh, you know, and all these noises going on. You know, generally, dead cattle don't make any noise. I don't know if you know that or not, but there's a biblical truth for you right there, okay? And so he's hearing all this noise, and Samuel says, well, if you've obeyed the Lord, wiped out everybody, what means the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen? Oh, well, yeah, I you know what? That's a good point. I was going to mention that. I remember now. The people wanted us to save a few of the fine things for a sacrifice to the Lord. Oh, I know this isn't right, preacher, but I'm going to use it for the Lord. I've had people tell me, and as I grind my axe this morning, this isn't in my notes, but I've had people tell me, preacher, I know this is wrong, but God's okay with it. Can you believe it? They say that out loud. Can you look in a mirror and say that? I know this isn't right, but God's going to use it. No, he will not, because you can't use God. You're not going to put him in your rules. He makes the rules. He sets the tone for blessing. You're either going to obey him or you get nothing from him. You know, it reminds me of the home I grew up in. Not about you, but you either go by the rules or you get nothing. And I have no problem with that. It's time we got back to old school. It's time we got back to saying it the way that it is, rather than just, well, you know, let's just love them. You know what? Love has to be tough once in a while. Love has to say so. We dedicated a couple of kids this morning, and mom and dad at times are going to have to look at those kids and say, you know what? That ain't going to happen. My rules, my home. You'll say, well, they might rebel. Oh, I guarantee you, they will rebel. And then you take the rod of discipline on the seat of understanding and you have a little conference, you know? But those things, you know, the parents say, well, you know, I don't want to force my kids. Let's just let them decide. They can make their own choices. That will not work, number one. And number two, the world's not letting them make a choice. The world's driving it down their throat. They're telling them how it's going to be. You and I are getting no say in what's going on in our public schools. You and I are getting no say what's going on in the world. They're telling us how it's going to be. And if we don't like it, they're going to call us judgmental, homophobic, whatever label they want to put on us. And I'm telling you, God is not blessing that. And Christians need to say so because it's wrong. You have to set a standard. God cannot be used. He's looking for obedience. 1 Samuel chapter 15, I'm going to read to you the important part of that text. Of course, it's all important. But in verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams, for rebellion as is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. God's looking for obedience. Say that with me. God is looking for obedience. If you want to come to the altar and have an encounter with the Lord, he's looking for three things. The first thing he's looking for is whether we will obey him or not. You know, some people would rather throw $1,000 in the offering than walk an aisle for Jesus Christ. It's a fact. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. So how do we exercise our obedience? And I guess we're going to close on obedience this morning. That's not a bad thing to take home with you, okay? But listen to this. What happens? How does this happen? How do I know if I'm being obedient to the Lord? Well, as the gospel is being preached, as God's word is being opened, in a church environment, in this setting this morning, two men were walking on the road to Emmaus. And as they were talking, Jesus met them on the road. Remember, after the resurrection. It's a great account. And they meet with him. They pray with him. Their eyes are open. They realize who he is, and he's gone. But what they said to each other, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? That heart burning, that feeling in your chest, in your stomach, in your very being, that something special is going on here. One thing. Another thing that happens when the Spirit of God is moving and God's word is being preached Hebrews 4, 12 and 13 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrows, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." What happens in when God is looking for obedience? Is he speaking to you this morning in this setting? Promise he is. If he's not, let's not have church. If the Holy Spirit is not here, and if God's not speaking, we are wasting our time. But if you will, in a church setting, to use a modern day terminology, it's like having your computer scanned. I don't know if you buy any virus programs or not, we do. And every now and then it'll say, "Do you want to scan your computer?" And so you punch the button and it's going through everything. It'll show you the counts of all the bytes of things it's reading and all that. It means nothing to me. But I know there's a process going on that is looking for garbage on my computer, which basically would be the whole thing. But it's they're checking it out, okay? Well, I want you to know this morning, you put yourself in a Holy Spirit environment where God is and you are there, church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. As you sit here in this room, you are being scanned by God himself. He's looking into you. I can't tell what he's saying to you. Your neighbor, your wife, your husband doesn't know what he's saying to you, but he's speaking to you this morning. Promise you he is. If he's not, that would bother me. And as God's word is being, the Bible says it's quick and powerful, sharper than discerning to the joints and marrow, the thoughts and intents of the heart. I had someone tell me not long ago, they came up and said, "Stan, it was like you were listening to my phone conversation this week. It's like you knew what I was talking about." Well, I have no idea what she was talking about. But I'll tell you what, God Almighty knows what you're talking about. He knows what you've seen on your computer this week. He knows the conversation you've had. He knows everything about you. And don't let that bother you. He still loves you. But the fact is, you're being scanned. You're being looked into. It's that Holy Spirit, if you will, trying to pump fresh air into your life. The fact is this. When God is speaking, the Holy Spirit is working, you have an opportunity to listen. But listen. Don't look at that screen. Don't listen to me. All right? Eyes here. Okay? All right? Now, see, that's an excellent point. You can become distracted. You can be thinking of other things. You can quench the Holy Spirit of God. You can stop him from speaking to you, or your conscience, as the Bible teaches, can be seared as a hot iron so you catch nothing that is going on. And if that is the case, I'd be begging God to open up something in my life so I could hear from him. That whatever situation he needs to put me in, I want to know so I can hear that. Because the danger can be this, is that God can either not speak to you or you cannot be able to hear it. And when we give an invitation in this church and we have a chance for the Holy Spirit to speak to you, you have a chance to respond. Because somewhere in our life, there has to be a choice that I want to obey the Lord and I want to follow through on whatever it is he's telling me to do. And if there's no follow through, you might as well not bother to have it. There has to be a follow through. There has to be a change in your life. Does that make sense? So please, when God speaks, you obey and you look for an opportunity to answer whatever it is that he is asking you to do.